It's Patrick from Alt-105.3, and I'm here with Tim from The Midnight, and this is the end of the tour for now, right, Tim?
It is, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
It's been a crazy run. This has been our the spring tour for North America, and in 2019. It's been amazing, and we're lucky that people, you know, give a crap and come out to our shows.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
I mean, San Francisco Bay Area has a lot of importance to The Midnight. Your guys' first show was at the DNA Lounge. You guys did two nights at the Independent.
Yeah.
And you guys have just like grown in venue size ever since.
Yeah.
So has it been tough to adapt to like the larger venues or?
No, I mean, I don't think it's been that crazy of a jump. The first show we ever played, like you said, was at the DNA Lounge, which is 800 cap, I think, or 750 or something.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of where we started. That was with FM84. And then when we started playing independent shows, we were doing anything between sort of 400 to 1200. And so now it's gone up a little bit, but then still there are a couple of places where it'll be like, oh, this is a 500 or 600 cap venue, whatever. But then the venues are growing a little bit, and
yeah.
This is definitely the biggest venue we've played so far that we're going to play tonight.
Awesome.
So that's going to be, you know, crazy and daunting, but it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, and you guys also have Nikki Flores popping up at this show, and I think she's been at every Bay Area show with you guys?
I think she has.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's based, like I am, based in L.A., so when we can, we get her out on tour with us and, you know, to kind of do a cameo for the show, and it's always a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So with the history with the Bay Area, is there any places you guys try to hit up? I know Tyler's currently recovering from illness right now.
Yes.
We're hoping he's going to be all right.
Curled up in a bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you guys are at full, you know, health and everything, is there any spots in the Bay Area you guys like to hit up or anything like that?
Oh, man. Tyler is probably the better person to ask that. I don't know this area that well. I haven't.
Okay.
I've only been here once before that, and then other than when we've played here. So.
Right.
I'm sort of always discovering new places whenever I come, and I don't even know the name. I couldn't tell you the name of whatever restaurant we went to last time, you know, sadly. So I would turn that around and reverse it and go, can you recommend any places?
Like, okay.
Yeah.
What are we looking for, though?
Oh, man.
Because we got a lot here.
I'm always partial to a good donut place.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously, we got the big chains of like Krispy Kreme and what have you.
Obviously, but you know, who needs that? I'm gonna want that local.
Oh yeah,
stuff,
of course. So if you're willing to make the difference, Psycho Donuts in San Jose is awesome.
Ooh.
Got a lot of love for Mazzetti's in Pacifica, which is a little closer, but this is all like Peninsula stuff, and Oakland commute can be a little rough. But those are my go-to donut spots for sure.
This is now on my go-to. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's
sweet.
What I'm gonna do.
Sweet. All right. So we got some stuff. I mean, you guys got a big gap coming up after this show, up until like I think late June when you guys are gonna be doing festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what are you guys going to do with that free time?
Oh, man, I wish it were free time.
Okay, free time from performing, at least.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, over the summer, I'm really working on the new album, and it's just really working on tracks for my sake, and we're recording new songs, and so it's sort of, you know, back and forthing with recording and writing, and then I take that and go and work on the tracks and stuff. So that's mainly what I'm focused on over the summer, whenever we're not playing on, you know, at festivals and stuff like that. Yeah.
So speaking of new material, you guys dropped America Online yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
And it's like, it feels a lot like almost the Midnight's take on Vaporwave.
Yeah. I guess you could call it that. It's, this sort of happened when I was working on Kids and finishing up Kids last year, about a year ago. And there were tracks that, while they kind of came into existence during that time, they didn't fit onto Kids, and it just naturally ended up fitting like more of a, like the next, there were songs that kind of will go on the next album that feels more like the next chapter in the story.
Right.
And it feels like, whereas I like to describe Kids as sort of, the themes are, you know, you're young, you're free, there's innocence and nostalgia, obviously, but also you're running around, you're exploring, you're seeing the world through new eyes with your friends, and you're on bikes and you're running around. There's freedom there. And the next one is more of the moody teenager that wants to just listen to emo music and close the door to the parents and watch, you know, horror movies and PlayStation and stuff like that. So it felt like a natural transition into the sort of next chapter. Yeah.
Right.
Which lends itself a bit more to sort of vaporwave themes, I think. A little bit more of an introverted feel sometimes, I think.
Okay. I saw, I think it was either you or Tyler tweeted out that you guys were doing some research and like early internet for this new album.
Yeah, it's just, I think, I don't know if call it research.
Yeah.
It's giving me too much credit.
Quote unquote.
It's just kind of fun to kind of dive down the rabbit hole, I think. It's a lot of inspiration. It's a source of a lot of inspiration for me when doing the tracks and just kind of swimming around in that aesthetic and taking in the those, just sonically, there was there's a palette that was used in that early time, and I think there was an optimism in, you know, the sound of the AOL opening, like the Windows 95 right. sound, like brum, there's like this theme or whatever. And so there's these things that the kind of the aesthetic and sonically I've sort of am being inspired by, and which is why there's pan flutes on America Online. And if there's something to that too that kind of lends itself to also vaporwave in general, but that sort of kind of, there's a weird disease from, you've got the kind of easy listening music being played in elevators and in stores and QVC channels, and they're all basically trying to be non-offensive music to basically make you stay and spend money.
Right.
And I love the kind of dichotomy of that, and then making it sound really relaxing, but there's a dark undertone to that, which I love.
Oh yeah, that's like 100% with like everything yeah. vaporwave is, with
yeah.
a lot more talk, if I read into it correctly, of like consumerism,
yeah,
anti-consumerism sure. stuff and like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I mean, this, I mean, I don't want to give too much away,
but right.
there's going to be a little interlude track that I want to call The Shopping Network. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, this is on the album,
right.
These are all, it's a little playground for me when we're not doing sort of classic written songs, little interludes that are just sort of setting the tone and weaving the tapestry around the album, the themes of the album. And it's that kind of thing. You can put in little old-fashioned ads and make it sound really light. And, you know, it's, hey, come stay, come buy the thing, and it's great. And then there's a weird disease to that, which
right.
I love.
Just like the general uncomfortableness of, like, yeah. over-insumption of consumerism.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, wow, I sound like I'm back in college writing an essay.
No, I love it. I love it.
Awesome. So one thing I've really noticed, you guys really seem like your music feels like it has genuine concepts, everything mm-hmm. like that. And I get like some visual ideas whenever I'm listening to it. So have you guys ever wanted to do a music video for any of your stuff? Because I know you guys have done some like cool montages, like Vampires is that awesome montage of that anime Wicked City
yeah.
put together. Have you guys ever thought about doing a music video?
For sure. I think it just hasn't been the right time. I think if and when we do it, I think we want to do it not just to do a music mm-hmm. video, but because there is a story to tell. Or I wanted to also, because I'm sort of a visual nut, mm-hmm. I would want there to be a proper budget so you can make it look properly cinematic and
right.
get the right people involved. Mm-hmm. And I would love for it to feel almost like a short film or something like that. You know, so I think it would have to be just the right story and concept, and be the right time where we feel like, well, this is the time to do a video for this song because of this,
right?
You know, there mm-hmm. needs to be a reason, I think, because otherwise, it's I love doing the kind of little edited things on iMovie, and I love that our fans do the same. It's sort of like, you know, they're doing content for us, and it's fantastic. So there's a guy, I think his name is Richard. He did an amazing video for Explorers, which was on kids. And he literally found, it opens with a bunch of like old school ads.
Oh, right. Like the prelude to that track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he literally went back and found every single ad and commercial for like cereal and, you know, Nintendo, and found the clips that correlated to the audio I'd used. And he put it all together and was just basically somehow got into my brain and read my mind, and all the images and the feelings I was trying to conjure up with that track, Never End a Story, and like run, you know, riding on Falcor the dragon, like that was an image that I had in my mind when I was doing that track. And he put it, I was like, oh, and E.T., you know, the moment when they lift off on the bikes, and that was in, I was just like, how, I love that he got exactly what I was trying to do. So right. I love when our fans do that. That's fantastic.
Okay. So with this new album, has there been any talks? There's like, I don't know how far along you guys are in the process. Have you guys started thinking about any features? Like, I know you guys did some stuff on, I think it was Nocturnal, with Time Cop 1983.
Yeah, we had Time Cop on Nocturnal and Nikki Flores. We've done two songs with her.
Right.
We haven't talked about features for this next one, and there wasn't anyone on Kids, and there I don't know that there'll be any features on this album. It's generally how the features have come around has not been us going, we need a feature for this album.
Right.
It's more been like I had been talking to Time Cop for a while and sort of back and forth on Twitter, and basically it was just before we were doing Nocturnal, he had sent me a bunch of ideas and I was like, I really like this one. And he's like, cool, I'll play around with it. He sent me some things and I messed around. And I sent him some stuff back and then it kind of just grew. And then it grew into a track that felt like it was should go on Nocturnal.
Right.
And then with Nikki, she's a songwriter I've known for years. And even before I started The Midnight with Tyler, we had been writing together because she's a really accomplished writer and artist in her own right. So we would be working together. And then Jason, which is the first song we did together, we wrote that before that initial idea was actually done before Days of Thunder came out. And it was just sitting there. And that was her verse and that part. And then down the line, I kind of played it for Tyler. I was like, what do you think about doing a duet? And he's like, I'm into it. And then he wrote his part. But that was like a year and a half after. So it's been an organic way of it came about. It was never a planned out thing. So I think it's, and it'll continue to be like that. So it depends on, you know, what we feel the album needs, but also what kind of opportunities present themselves, I think.
Right. And you guys have gotten yourself some pretty high profile fans, I think it's fair to say. Chris Evans gave you guys a tweet, Captain America himself.
That's amazing.
Brendan Urie gave you guys a shout on his Twitter
stream. I saw that. Yeah. That was so cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. What I love more than, someone is famous and they like our stuff.
Right.
It's more of creative people that, you know, that I respect, that you realize you're kindred spirits, right? So it's you're connecting over something. And we've got a bunch of screenwriters following us on Twitter, and I talk to them. And you know, there's a bunch of podcasters. I listen to a lot of podcasts about movies and entertainment, and they are now fans of the music. And you know, a couple of them came to the show last night. And it's just, I love connecting with people and where you realize you're kindred spirits, no matter what you do or where you are in the pecking order, as it were.
Yeah. Well, hey, so I mean, it's got to be nice to see somebody with like that verified checkmark giving you guys a retweet on Twitter.
Oh, no, yeah, of course. I mean, I think anyone giving a retweet is nice of them. But yeah, you know, the Chris Evans has been very, very supportive, and it's just been, he's a very sweet guy and very genuine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was, we played a show with him over New Year's, and that was a great thing that he made happen, basically. It was a charity event, and he could not have been nicer. And so to have him, someone that you respect, not only his work but also as a human being, who'd be very genuine and support us in that way, was very generous of him.
Awesome. Yeah. And then also, so coming up towards the end of summer, you guys are going to be playing a couple festivals like Firefly Fest, Splendor in the Grass. So have you guys done festivals before?
We did one festival last year in Chicago, and I can't even remember the name. This is really embarrassing.
It's all good.
My manager's sending me evil looks. I can't even see his mouth. He's trying to... North Coast. That's North what Coast. It's called. See, what you should know about me is I'm the most uncool person. I don't know anyone or anything. I'm not in the loop, as it were. I just show up and make some sounds.
I mean, you're doing a pretty good job with that, I think.
That's all I've got.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're playing a bunch of festivals, and... yeah, we're going to be playing Splendor in the Grass, right? That's the name of it. In Australia, of all places, which is incredible. We've never been there. That'll be our first show, and we've got a couple of headlining shows in Australia, which we're super stoked for.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's a whole wild ride, and we're just trying to, you know, hang on and make sure that we deliver good shows for people that are paying money to, you know, come and see us.
Oh yeah, of course. And so closing this out, I do have to ask, do we have a rough idea of when we'll be getting whatever album America Online is going to be on? Any tease whatsoever?
I'm looking at my manager. Can I say? I mean, I think we have a rough idea of something. It would be next year.
Next year?
Yeah. We've got a few songs that we're going to release through the year, I think is the plan. But I don't know how much more I can say. without getting fired from my own band. No, that's the plan. Awesome. We're working on the album. There's a bunch of songs written, and mm-hmm. we're, you know, continuing to write. We want this album to feel, I think the story on Kids, just the narrative, it was more of a wistful, it was more of a journey. It wasn't so much about the big pop songs. It was more about a mood and living in a certain world for the entire album. Mm-hmm. You know, for the people that are looking for, I guess, more bangers, as it were, I think the next album will be a bigger meal, if you could call it that. You know, it'll be a solid course of a three course meal. So we want to make sure that feels like a substantial album to follow up Kids, which was more of a living in its own little universe, and there was a quietness to it that I think we both wanted to create. And I think a lot of people took to that, but I think the next one will be a bit more rebellious and will be a little darker or moodier, mm-hmm. but it won't be sort of, we don't like to repeat ourselves. It's sort mm-hmm. of like, I a lot of people love Nocturnal, and I loved working on Nocturnal. I know Tyler did too, and that's great, but that already exists.
Right.
And sort of as a producer and songwriter, we just both feel it gets a little, if you're just repeating yourself, it just becomes boring. So it's fun to tread new territory. So the next one will be different themes, but mm-hmm. certainly very recognizable to Midnight fans, for sure.
Got it. And I guess that also goes along with the fact that you guys have sort of, like, I don't know if phased out is the right word, but, like, less saxophone.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did you say sax?
Which I always see pop up on Twitter and mention with you guys.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We've replaced sax with pan flutes.
Oh, great.
For the next album.
Awesome.
No, there probably will be a little bit of sax on this next album. But, yeah, it's a natural progression thing. Mm-hmm. We will never use sax again, but, you know, for an album like Nocturnal, which was the most sax heavy album, it made sense for the mood we're trying to create. But that's not the only mood I like to create. You know, I like to say I love chocolate ice cream, but I don't want chocolate ice cream all the time.
Right.
I like a bit of, you know, let's get on some vanilla and some strawberry.
Yeah.
And so, there will be a little bit of sax on this next one, but it'll be, maybe in a different way, and it can't all be sort of late night crooning vibes. As a producer, I would get bored with that. And I think, yeah, there are people that just kind of want that sax fix, and I get that. That's totally understandable. You taste something and it tastes really good. Let's eat it all the time.
Right.
But hopefully they can get that somewhere else, or go back to listen to our own, you know, our older songs.
Yeah.
And then there'll probably be sax on some stuff in the future.
Yeah, just giving the fans the full palette of everything you guys have to offer.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. We have to allow ourselves some creative freedom and kind of move in new directions. It's sort of for us to keep interested in what we're doing, for sure.
Awesome. So Midnight are going to be at the Fox Theater tonight, May 4th, Star Wars Day, and I will for sure be there.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you, man.
Yeah. All right, so I'll just close it out. How do we feel about the sequel trilogy so far?
About the sequel trilogy of
Star Wars.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
I see, a lot of people hated the last one, The Last Jedi, and I loved it. I thought it was great. And I think this is kind of the themes we were just talking about renewing yourself. You can't stick to the old formula, because I don't think Star Wars should be this sacred, untouchable thing that cannot never change. It has to evolve. It has to change. And I think that was proved in the storytelling. And I think that made it more exciting and ultimately a better movie for it, that it didn't have to stick to, or it didn't stick to, you know, the tropes or certain things that you come to expect. And I heard people going, oh, it just didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. And I don't even know what that means. What is it? Then go back and watch the old ones if you want that feeling recreated every time. But that's the danger of fandom, right? That if you just want that chocolate ice cream mm-hmm. fix, then you can only listen to one thing and watch one thing. So I'm stoked for the next hour. I'm super stoked for that one.
Awesome.
And J.J. Abrams is coming back for that
one,
right?
Yeah, which is going to be interesting, because, I mean, people... The weird thing, here's the other thing, is you talk about the fandoms, is like people complain The Force Awakens was too similar to the old ones.
Yeah.
And then people complained The Last Jedi was too different from the old ones. So it's like,
there you
can never make anybody happy.
You can't be everything to everybody all the time.
Right. Awesome. Well, Tim, thanks for coming by. And
thank you so
I'm
much.
Looking forward to the show tonight, man.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
No problem.